إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
Indeed, all praises for Allah, we praise Him. We seek His aid and His assistance and ask for His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one will be able to mislead him or her. Whomever He leaves astray, nobody can guide him or her. I swear that there is no object or deity worthy of worship except Allah alone without partner, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and die not except in a state of Islam.
رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي.
Today's khutbah is going to be about one of my favorite surahs, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. It's the 56th surah of the Quran, and it is 96 verses. It is a Makkan surah. And there's a few hadiths I'm going to narrate to you to introduce you to the surah. It's narrated in Tirmidhi that Abu Bakr said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, your hair you have become gray. Your hair has become gray." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds by listing a few surahs that cause his hair to go gray, and one of them was Surah Al-Waqi'ah. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Surah Al-Waqi'ah is the surah of wealth. So recite it and teach it to your children." In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night shall never suffer poverty." And according to one commentator of the Qur'an, he states regarding this hadith, it seems as though what is intended is that the one who recites it will attain unto a self-sufficiency, which arises from having reliance, tawakkul, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reliance comes about by virtue of his recitation, reflection, and subsequent realization that Allah alone is the one who is the effector of causes and the originator of causative factors. And also through his attesting to the verse, such as the verse in that surah, verse 59, "Do you create it yourselves or are we the creator?" Right, and then there's another verse in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, "Is it you who make them grow or we?" And referring to the crops and the vegetables and the fruits, are you the grower or are we the grower? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question to humanity, to the reader. Additionally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks in that surah, "Was it you who brought it down from the rain cloud or we?" Meaning, did you bring down the rain, did you make the water, or did we make the water? And the "we" is the royal "we" of royalty. As reliance is taking the means whilst witnessing the true actor, thus whoever attains unto self-sufficiency has complete freedom of need of people. And in reality, true poverty is only to Allah, so He will never be in need of them. So this surah, it refers, it has many questions, rhetorical questions in it. And additionally, it talks about the hereafter. And it talks about the state of the human being in the hereafter, what state we're going to be in which category of people. And I'm going to go into the categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in. There is a famous story of Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Caliph Uthman, radiallahu anhu. He was on his deathbed. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is one of the scholars of Islam. He's one of the greatest companions. It is argued that he was among the most knowledgeable of them. And he was often referred to, after the Prophet's death, Umar radiallahu anhu would refer to him in matters of the Qur'an and in other matters of fiqh. So he's sick and he's on his deathbed. And the caliph at that time is Uthman. And he comes to him and he said to him, "What is your ailment?" And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud responds, "My sins." And then Uthman radiallahu anhu says, "And what do you desire?" And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud responds, "The mercy of my Lord." And then Caliph Uthman, he says, "Shall I not give you your stipend, which you have refused to take for years now?" And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud responds, "I have no need for it." And then Caliph Uthman, knowing the state of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he was in a state of what we would consider to be poverty, and he was leaving behind some daughters. So the Caliph Uthman, he says to him, let it be for your daughters. Let that stipend that you didn't take for years, even though you deserved it, according to the laws of the land, let it be for your daughters after you. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud responds in an amazing way. He says, do you fear poverty for my children? I have commanded them to read Surat Al-Waqi'ah every night. For I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whoever reads Al-Waqi'ah every night shall not be afflicted by poverty ever. SubhanAllah. And that night he died. In this narration it says that he passed away to the company of his Lord, his tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah and with the recitation of the verses of his book, of the Qur'an. So this is the power of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. So the surah begins with a verse, when the event befalls. And this event that is being spoken about is the Day of Judgment, the Day of Resurrection. And the second verse of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, it states, there will be no denying at the moment it befalls. Right? That day when it befalls, the Day of Resurrection, the Day of Judgment, there will be no disbelievers. Everybody will believe that day. Everybody will become a believer that day. You know, the atheists of this earth, the people who disbelieved, they will all believe. And this third verse of Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the translation of which is, it will be abasing and exalting. Some people will be lowered that day, and some people will be exalted that day. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Qur'an. I love this verse. Personally, I love this verse. Because it puts everybody in their place in the hereafter. Everybody will be put in their place. You know, the people who we perceived in this earth to be rich, to be famous, who people, you know, they follow their Facebook posts, their Twitter posts, you know, they run after them in the matters of the dunya. A lot of them, and Allah knows best who they are, will be lowered, right? And the people we perceive to be weak, we perceive them to be poor, we perceive them to be nothing on this earth, some of them will be raised, right? Like that janitor who cleans Makkah or cleans the masjid, and nobody talks to him because he looks dirty, right? He has cheap Walmart clothing. But he comes every day and he cleans the toilets, he cleans the masjid, right? People like that who we didn't even expect, they're going to be raised so high. And we're going to go to them and we're going to say, what did you do on the earth? I knew you. What did you do to get such a high status, right? And they'll say, I don't know, this is what I did. But they did it for the sake of Allah and their hearts were pure. And they did their fard. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their deeds and they were raised very high. And then in ayah 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the earth is shaken with a shock, right, the earth will be shaken violently on this day. And the mountains, ayah 5, and the mountains are ground to powder. And in one tafsir that I was reading, if you see a stream of light coming through your window, and you see the particles in that stream of light, that's how the mountains will be on that day. Small particles. In ayah 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be scattered dust. And on that day, you will be of three kinds. In ayah 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be of three kinds. Every one of you, everybody in this room, everybody in this library, everybody in this city, in this nation, in this earth, will be of three kinds on that day. You will be either the people of the right hand, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it so beautifully. He says, the companions of the right hand, what of the companions of the right hand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a rhetorical question because He wants you to think about it. He doesn't want to just tell you it's the people of the right hand or you're going to be the people of the right hand. He says, the companions of the right hand, what of the companions of the right hand? It's a question mark. Allah is asking a rhetorical question to you so that you think about it. You think about who these right hand people are, right? What they look like, what they did in their lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah 9, and the companions of the left hand, what of the companions of the left hand? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you a rhetorical question in hopes that you think about these people of the left hand. Who are they? What did they do on this earth? Where will they be going? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as-sabiqun, as-sabiqun, and the foremost are the foremost. Right? There's this group of people, these special people, they're called sabiqun, and they are in the front. And you can think of it as a race, like we're all in a marathon, we're all in a race, and we're all running towards a destination. And in reality, we are all going towards a destination, whether we know it or not. And the sabiqun are the ones in the front, right? They're competing in the front to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they compete with one another. And regarding the sabiqun, the verses after it talk about it a little bit more. So ayah number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these sabiqun, they are the ones brought near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're brought very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after the prophets, according to the tafsir, they are going to be the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. And then Allah describes what their reward is. Allah gives us some taste of their reward in the hereafter. The sabiqun, this special group of people. Allah says in ayah 12 that they're going to be in gardens of delight. Many among the first and a few among the last. So Allah tells us how many. He gives us an idea in our mind. There's going to be many among the first and a few among the last. And the ulama, the tafsir of this is, it varies. But some people said that this group of people were the companions, the first three generations. Because there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that the best of generations is mine, then the generation after, and then the generation after. So some ulama say that the most of these people will be the companions and the tabi'in and the taba tabi'in, right? And then the few will be the righteous people who come afterwards, the great alims, the great shaheeds, etc. Numan Ali Khan, I was listening to his tafsir about this, he takes the opinion that in every generation, there will be a group of sabiqun, a large group of sabiqun in every generation. And perhaps he said even in every year, like 2012 will have its sabiqun, and 2013 will have its sabiqun, and 2014 will have its sabiqun, right? And this is a group that we should all strive to be amongst. May Allah make us all among them. And there's a few hadiths regarding this sabiqun I want to share with you. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, I long for my brothers or my brethren. And then the companions then asked, are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah? He answered, you are my companions, but my brothers are those who will come after me. Then after describing some of their qualities, he said, the deeds of one of them shall be equal to the deeds of 70. They asked 70 of them. He answered, no, 70 of you, meaning referring to the companions. They asked, why is that so, O Messenger of Allah? To which he answered, because you found help and support towards the good, but they will find no such help and support. SubhanAllah, so beautiful, right? So there's going to be this group of people, sabiqun, that are going to come in every generation. And so some of the ulama said that this hadith refers to the sabiqun, that they're going to strive in the religion, they're not going to have any help, they're not going to have, you know, a group of companions around them. They're not going to have, you know, the even maybe Islamic knowledge to the extent that they had Islamic knowledge. And yet they're going to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another hadith, the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will there be anyone better than us? He answered, yes, a people will come after. They will find a book between two covers. They will believe in it and believe in me, though they will have never seen me, and they will affirm what I have brought and act according to it. They are the ones who are better than you, right? So there, and then the ulama have different opinions about this, meaning like they're not necessarily going to be better in all the qualities of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Maybe in a few qualities that are going to be better, right? So may Allah make us all among these people, these sabiqun, who strive in His way, who do not falter in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I say this and I seek forgiveness from Allah for me and for you and for the rest of the Muslims. So ask Him for forgiveness. He is surely the one who forgives, the most merciful. Ask for forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulillah, amma ba'd. So, you know, every surah of the Qur'an, it has a historical context. It also has a context of the literal meaning of the surah, right? And then it also has a context for the time and place we're living in. And actually, according to some commentators on the Qur'an is like an onion. Like, you just peel off layers, and it goes. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper, as deep as you want to go into the Qur'an. And that's why we have hundreds of commentaries on the Qur'an, because there's so many layers, so many gems that can come from even just one verse. So if we look at this surah starting from the beginning and apply it to our life here in Amherst, let's take the first verse, for example, when the event befalls. And one of the commentators I was reading, he said that in your life, events will befall you. Signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Signs will come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your life. And then if you go into ayah number 2, there will be no denying at the moment it befalls. There will be no denying when those signs fall upon you, right? So you hear about those stories of people who have a car accident, right? Or their mother passes away, their father passes away, a child passes away. And these are major events in their life. And when it happens, people usually get shocked, right? And then Allah says in ayah 3, abasing and exalting. It will bring you down, it will depress you, it will take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or these events can bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to make that decision. Everybody makes that decision in their life. And you'll often hear stories like this, right? What made you come back to Islam? What made you convert to Islam? What made you come back to religion? Oh, I had a car accident. I saw death before my eyes. I almost died, right? I can't believe I was saved. There must be a greater power. Something saved me. You know, even the police, even the ambulance were like, we don't know why you didn't die. You should have died in this accident. There's just no explanation, right? Or somebody has a cancer or a disease, and the doctor will say, you have 6 months to survive. You're definitely going to die. And then they miraculously survive, and they're living for 10 more years. And they're like, I have no idea. It must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be a greater power, right? Some people turn back to their religion that they know. Some people go out and they seek another religion, and they come to Islam or something else. So in the same way, a life event, it can abase you or it can exalt you. It can bring you up or it can take you down. Because some people, when they lose somebody in their family, they end up denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, why did this happen to me? You know, why did I get chosen to have cancer? I'm such a nice person. I've done so many great things, right? And then they deny Allah. So these events can take you in both directions. And depending on the direction it takes you, and depending on how you die, like if you're in that negative direction, then you will be abased in the hereafter. You will be down in the hereafter as well. But if it exalted you on this earth, then you will be exalted in the hereafter. In ayah 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the earth is shaken with a shock, right? So these events that we go through in our life, they can shock us, and they do shock us. They're, you know, people call them catastrophes, tragic events, right? Additionally, when somebody decides to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say an event happens, like a car accident, and then they decide, you know what, I'm going to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Lord, as my Creator, right? I'm going to read the Quran, I'm going to understand this religion, I'm going to seek out the company of righteous people. They choose a different path. It becomes actually a shock, in a sense, because now they're doing surgery upon their heart, right? You ever see somebody who converts to Islam? They cry. Why do they cry? All they said was one statement, one phrase, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But yet they cry, and sometimes they cry for a long time, because it's a surgery upon their heart, right? And so the earth is shaken with a shock, your heart is shaken with a shock when you decide to accept Islam, and it can be a surgery for you. According to one alim that I studied, he said that, you know, he was into politics, and he believed he committed a lot of sins when he was in politics, because politics is politics. Anyways, he decided to leave that off, and he went into back to accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully. And so he read a book by Abdul Qadir Jinani, a great scholar of the past. And when he read that book, it's a short book. I have the book. It's like 50 pages. He read 25 pages, and he said, I had to put it back on the shelf because the surgery upon my heart was so severe that I needed time to recover. And so he waited 3 weeks, and then he picked it up again and then finished reading it. And he said that reformed his heart, and it made him a better person, right? Additionally, there's another item he refers to in his tafsir. He has a tafsir from Turkey, and he refers to this concept. And the Turkish people that I lived with, they refer to this concept. They call it isharat, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sends signs in your life, right? The sun coming up is a sign. The trees outside are a sign. But also a car accident can be a sign. Also like divine coincidences, right? Where you think of somebody and all of a sudden they walk through the door, right? This is a divine coincidence, right? Other divine coincidence could be like a dua, like you have a longing for something, or you make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and literally it happens before your eyes. And I've seen this happen, by the way, right? Or it happens in a week, or it happens much quicker than you expect. These are divine coincidences or signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Adam, he talks about how he's serving the Qur'an. He's writing the Qur'an and he's spreading it throughout Turkey. And he's doing this under government oppression. The government was very oppressive, so he had to do it secretly. And he had students who would learn the Qur'an from him. They would write it down and then they would spread it throughout Turkey secretly. They had to handwrite it because they didn't have a printing press. And he states that one thing that he observed among his students was the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he called them, he referred them to them as compassionate slaps. He called them compassionate slaps, meaning that they would be on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would be writing the Qur'an, they would be reading the Qur'an, they'd be learning the Qur'an, and then they would veer off the path a little bit. You know, maybe they would just indulge in the dunya a little bit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send them a slap. He called it a compassionate slap, because they would bring them back on the path of the Qur'an, right? So sometimes when we look at tragic events in our life, we consider them to be tragic, right? But we don't really consider them to be compassionate. But in reality, the Muslim, the believer, he should always see the tragedies in his life as compassion. Because whatever bad we go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us if we are patient through it. So if we continue to go through this surah and we look at how this can apply to our lives, you know, Allah talks about the three groups of people, the companions of the right, the companions of the left, and the sabiqun. And on this earth, we can see that, right? We see that there are people who are striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, they're people of the right. And then you see the people who are striving extra hard, right? They're in the masjid extra, right? Maybe they're praying all night, they memorize the Qur'an, you know, they do great feats in Islam, and the people recognize it. In general, people recognize it. So we see that the sabiqun, the people of the right, and the people of the left, we see them in this earth, right? It's kind of obvious. Of course, we're not here to judge anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge, but we can see this in our life. This is not something that we, you know, is far away, just in the hereafter, but it's actually right before our eyes. So, you know, they race, the sabiqun, they race in this world. They're racing in this world. They're like the valedictorians. And they don't compare themselves to other people, right? The sabiqun, the righteous people, they don't compare themselves to other people. They just go. They're just like, I want Jannah, I'm going to go for Jannah, right? They're not comparing themselves to other people. They just work for the sake of Allah. And Allah says in Ayah 11, they are the ones brought near to Him, right? So in this world, they feel a peace. They're in a state of peace. You ever meet a righteous person and you can just feel peace emanating from him or nur emanating from that guy, right? They're in a state of peace in this earth and they will be in a state of peace in the hereafter. And the interesting thing about people who are in a state of peace, righteous people, sabiqun, is that most of the people on earth don't perceive them to be in a state of peace. They actually look at them negatively. Oh man, that guy has nothing. He has this, you know, beat down Camry, you know, he doesn't have any like nice clothes, right? His job, he makes 10 bucks an hour, right? People perceive them to be not anything great, right? I heard one narration, and I need to find it, that one of the tabi'in was talking about the companions, and he said, if you met the companions, you would think they were crazy, because when their clothes were all patched up. Umar radiallahu anhu had 18 patches in his clothes, right? People don't walk around like that here. If you walk around like that here, people say you're homeless, right? But they didn't care for the dunya, they cared for the akhirah. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu, when the ambassador from Rome came, from the Roman Empire, they found him sleeping on the ground in the dirt. And they're shocked that the caliph of the time is sleeping on the ground. Right? This was the kind of people. So they're in a state of peace, but nobody on this earth perceives their state of peace. And in the hereafter, they're going to be shocked. They're going to be like, why isn't Britney Spears in Jannah? Why isn't Justin Bieber in Jannah? Why is this guy in Jannah? You know, what did he do? Right? Because their perceivement in this world is off. And their perceivement in the next world will be off as well, right? So, you know, and then if we think about like the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, I was just pondering upon that, as I was pondering upon this verse, that these people, these sabiquns, are brought near to him and they're in gardens of delight. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, he's in a palace and he prefers the prison. He says, send me to prison because I prefer the akhirah. I prefer not to commit sins, right? And he said, I can worship Allah better in the prison. And he enjoyed his stay in the prison, from what we know. He enjoyed it and he brought many people to Islam and he did many good things in the prison. And you will find many of the righteous people in our history of Islam in the 1400 years who went to prison, they talk positively about it. Because they said, for me, when I was in prison, I could worship Allah without any interference. Nobody would bother me. I would have nothing else to worry about. I would just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day long. I would learn the Quran. I would memorize it. I would read the books of Allah. And they enjoyed it. And they have this internal peace in their hearts, right, that nobody can take away from them. So there's a few more verses that I wanted to go through, but we're towards the end of it. In the next few verses, and inshallah we'll go through it next week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the reward of the Sabiqun. And it's an amazing reward. It's very beautiful. And inshallah we'll go through that next week, the reward of the Sabiqun. If there's any mistakes there from me, please forgive me. Please ask Allah for my forgiveness. And please make dua for me. And if there's anything good that you hear today, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember Allah the Exalted and He will remember you. Thank Him for His blessings and He will increase you. And there is nothing greater than the remembrance of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Surely Allah and His angels bless the Prophet. O you who believe, invoke blessings of Allah on him and pray to Allah to bestow His peace on him, greeting him with the best greeting. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Messenger of God. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Beloved of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Faithful Messenger of Allah's revelation. O Allah, bestow your peace and blessings upon our Master Muhammad, upon his family and companions, as many times as there are leaves on the trees and waves in the oceans and drops in the rains. O Allah, for the sake of every one of those blessings, forgive us and have mercy on us and grant us divine favors. O Allah, protect us from the fire. O Allah, protect us from all kinds of trials in our religious and worldly affairs. O Allah, protect us from the trials of this age. O Allah, protect us from the trials of Masih al-Dajjal. O Allah, protect us from going astray, from invention in religion and from calamities. O Allah, protect us from the evil of deluded ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil of the Pharaoh-like ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil that may come from men and women. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the judgment day. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of hell. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of being subject to your wrath. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave and the fire. O Allah, protect us from hypocrisy, from showing off in our prayers, from confidence in our good deeds, and from vanity. O Allah, protect us from being wronged by those who go astray. O Allah, protect us from the evil of hypocrites. O Allah, protect us from the menace of the sinners. O Allah, protect and give peace to the Muslims struggling all over the world, the Muslims of Syria, Myanmar, Pakistan, China, America, Russia, and in every corner where Muslims struggle in your way, please assist and help them. We ask Allah, the All-Forgiving One, O Allah, protect us, our parents, students serving in the way of the Quran and faith, our friends who are sincere believers, our relatives and our ancestors from the fire. We seek your forgiveness, O you who grants refuge. We seek your favor and blessing, O most forgiving. O Allah, admit us into Jannah along with the truly virtuous. Admit us, our teachers, our parents, all our brothers and sisters, our relatives, our ancestors, and our believing friends who are steadfast in the service of the Quran and faith and who devote themselves unto Allah alone. Admit us all into Jannah with the truly virtuous. Ameen. All praise is due to the sustainer of all the worlds, Aqim as-Salah.